I don't know if we're gonna use that intro. I might cut it.
I was actually waiting for somebody to say no. Okay, fine. I'll do a real intro now.
This sounds horrible.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Leet Speak. We've got the usual Kyle Young here.
Yo!
We've got the fantastically fantastic Dylan White.
Paint me like one of your French girls.
Which would look just like Dylan. And we've got our returning lovable Maggie.
Hi, everybody.
And if you're listening to this podcast, I would be...
Skyrim.
Yeah. Maggie, what was your comment?
Skyrim!
We make this podcast with the full and absolute knowledge that right now you're not really paying attention to us because you're probably playing Skyrim as you're listening to this podcast as we are playing Skyrim as we make it.
Except me, so, but I will be as soon as I return to the homestead.
Wait, so does that mean we're like the voices inside people's heads right now?
Yes. Don't do it. You have so much to live for.
Kill all the people.
There is a leprechaun in your closet, and yes, his name is Bobby Goodwin.
So yeah, everybody should know, just in case I start, you know, having some Tourette's syndrome issues right now, it's because of Skyrim.
So, wait, is that a good or a bad thing?
Depends.
It's a yes thing.
You know what, as sad as it is, I almost feel like I should take off my crown as a RPG king, because... I am, my crown, because I have no intentions of picking up Skyrim.
Yep, turning your crown.
Why?
I don't know. I really don't know, but I have not been the least bit appealed by it. It's like, oh, this season, yep, gonna get Gears. Okay, gonna get Metal Gear next. Skyrim's cool, I guess.
Skyrim has dragons, and you get to run around open world. It's all the shit you like. That insane character customization, it's there. I don't understand you. Brandon, we can't do this.
I just ran around as a werewolf, killing people.
I'm going to let this podcast try to sell me. And so Maggie and Kyle, that's your job on this podcast, is try to sell me on this game.
Okay. Well, may I?
Go for it.
If you like Uber customization, Skyrim's got it. I mean, it's completely possible in this game to not go to a shop ever to buy something. You can mine and collect and do what you can and just make your own weapons and gear and potions and stuff like that. And I think that's a really cool feature because it really does kind of let you immerse yourself in the game quite a bit. You have to work for everything you have.
Dragons.
And dragons.
That's the only reason I want it. I want to take a battle axe and just stab it right into a dragon's head and be like, suck that dick.
I will say this about the dragons. The dragons are absolutely stunning. If you played Oblivion, like Elder Scrolls Oblivion, they've upgraded the mechanics. They've upgraded the visuals. They've upgraded the facial models, the animation. They've stepped up because they knew how immersive a game Oblivion was, and they just decided to go, hey, let's make one better.
That's the other thing is I never played Oblivion.
See, and that might be another thing, too. This might be a good introduction to the Elder Scrolls series for you.
It might be.
It's kind of like, if you like cinematic cutscenes, you're not going to get it here.
I figured that much.
They have like Half-Life 2 style playthrough cutscenes.
Which is fine by me.
Southern woman Dylan.
Well, yeah, and that's just interesting side bits about Skyrim. Like, for instance, all the armor I'm wearing, I didn't actually buy or find. I made it. You know, that's really satisfying.
I would run around naked.
And people actually think that's bad if you're running around naked, by the way, because I did it on accident because I didn't realize you were made naked after transforming into a werewolf. And they're like, you know, you should really put some clothes on. It's cold out. That sort of thing.
So wait, do you lose all your clothes?
No, your clothes are on you. It's just that whenever you transform, they don't transform with you. So they just kind of go back in your inventory.
Dong.
I transformed the first time and went into a town and everybody's like, oh my god, what are you doing?
I transformed the first time and went out into the field outside the town and there was a fucking dragon.
Nice.
Seriously. But yeah, that's another thing. The dragons randomly spawn. So you never know when it's going to happen.
That is awesome.
Yeah, but the customization, like Maggie said, is really detailed. You can even color the dirt on your face.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
And if you're playing an Argonian or a Khajiit, which are the lizard and cat people, respectively, you can just edit the markings to the point where you can make them look ridiculously awesome.
I mean, dude, tiger blood. Urgh!
I am half thinking about making a character called Tiger Blood that is a Khajiit. So,
here's a question for you guys. Is there, have either of you guys tried to play as, like, a male human yet?
Well, the thing is that there's not really, there's a couple of different types of human.
Uh-huh.
And it's by ethnic background.
Oh, well, I'm a red guard.
So I'm playing as a female Nord right now. And that's basically just the north area. They're made of the Skyrim.
They're more of the mage type class, aren't they?
No, they're warriors.
They're warriors? Okay.
No, wait, there are three different types of humans.
I'm playing as a wood elf that uses arrows as a main weapon. Surprise, surprise.
Well, the main reason I'm curious is because I one of the things I always look for in a game, just because I like to make... I guess it's a thing where you're playing RPG and you want to just make the character as... There's two different things, I feel like. There's the people who try to play as somebody who's completely opposite of them, and then there's the type of people who want to put themselves in the game's universe. I'm the type of person where I like to put myself in the game's universe. So
you can self-insert.
What do you mean? Yeah. Well, one of the first things I look for when I play games like that, and it, like one of the things I was really happy to see about in Dragon Age 2... is that they had a hairstyle closest to my own hairstyle. Because it's very, you know, surprisingly, it's very rare to find, I guess it's not really that surprising, but it's rare to find in, like, fantasy games, characters that have the, like, a spiked hair, or, like, at least, like, in Dragon Age 2, there was the slicked back spike hair, so that kind of, that looked closest to my hairstyle. So I was curious as if they had something that resembled that in this one.
I'm not sure.
If they don't, you can paint me blue, because they have over 100 different hairstyles in that damn game.
Really?
Here's my question.
It's a little bit more restrictive with women, but yeah.
Can you alter tit size?
No, I actually, no. I wasn't able to make any major alterations like that. You can edit the weight. They really kind of simplified how much you edit the body. The face... editing has been simplified a little bit because if you play Oblivion, you could have spent 2 hours working on your face and it would still look weird.
Yeah.
The faces look better in this, and I think it really is because they simplified the system quite a bit.
The characters used to be god ugly in Oblivion, and they're not that bad looking in Skyrim.
Yeah, I've seen that comparison picture.
The kid. In fact, I ran into a Khajiit outside of Windhelm. I was over at my friend's apartment while she was playing it, and we both stopped and we stared at this Khajiit, and he's like, "This is the coolest looking motherfucker I've ever seen in my life." We just.
Yeah, the Khajiits are awesome.
What are the Khajiit?
They're cat people.
Okay.
They're like tigers and lynx and leopards.
Yeah, I was actually just on GameStop, GameStop, that was it. I just saw a picture of them.
And the Argonians are the lizard people that look slightly like dinosaurs.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And that's what Austin's playing as, surprise, surprise.
Austin's playing as a lizard person?
Yep.
That doesn't seem... Kitty Softpaws.
Don't the name is supposed to be this dude tricking his wife to think that Skyrim's Puss in Boots.
Oh.
But that's a Khajiit.
Okay.
Okay, I want to see this picture.
All right, I'll say this. You guys are kind of leaning me towards it, but we're talking about it, we'll see.
Kitty soft paws.
The, me and Maggie and Scott all both got the strategy guide because I think all three of us are thinking at the same time. Free artwork inside, and this game is massive. Yeah, I should probably get this. But as I'm looking through the index of it, not even half of the side quests are even mentioned in it. There's that many side quests that they had to cut them out of the strategy guide.
That's pretty.
They just picked the hardest ones, and we're like, hey, they probably need to know about that and this and that.
Yeah. So. It's one of those games, kind of like Red Dead, where you can't, you don't have to go and do mission after mission and do all that. You can walk through the forest and pick flowers that you could use for your alchemy table so you can make potions, or you can mine ore, like Maggie said, and you can make suits of armor. There is way countless, endless stuff you can do in this game. You can get married and have a house.
That's one of the things that it very much interested me when Maggie was talking about that. Because there's not too many games nowadays that you see, like, oh, you can get married and stuff.
Yeah, whatever. And I actually mentioned that you can get married to anyone. Like, if you're a female, you can get married to another female, and it's no big deal. If you're a male, you can get married to another male. No big deal. You can get married to a Khajiit or a Argonian and be a human, and it's not a huge deal. And it was kind of funny because actually whenever they actually told people they were doing that, the exact same week, Old Republic said we're not allowing same-sex marriage in our game. And I always thought it was kind of interesting that they released it at the same time, you know. Kind of convenient on Skyrim's part, just saying.
You know, it's an interesting thing when it comes to, like, same-sex marriages and interracial marriages in video games. Because, you know, at one token, like, I look at it as, like, okay, that's kind of weird that just, like, everybody, like, hits on everybody. But then when you think about it in the fact that it's a world where they don't have those stereotypical boundaries set up of, like, what's taboo and what's not, it must be perfectly normal.
Yeah. And that thing is... We could talk for hours about same-sex relationships in video games and where they come from, but I find it very cool that in video games it's happening. And it's causing sales to go up for video games whenever they say that we're going to have same-sex relationships, as opposed to whenever a video game says we're not, their sales go down.
You know,
I find it kind of funny that it goes down like that.
I'm not a homophobic in any means at all, but, you know, it's just the one thing that's always, like, I find weird about when they do that is, you know, you're just walking down the street. Like, in Fable, this was very strange. It's like, you'd just be walking down the street, and some guy will come up to you and be like, hey, and it's like...
Welcome to life as a woman.
Yeah, well, I don't... It's a weird...
weird no, seriously. No. I've actually had to explain this at IRL a couple of times to people whenever they go down Boys Town. A fun fact, guys, I live in Chicago, and there's an area of Chicago called Boys Town. It is where it is the gay district. I'm just kind of letting everybody have a little bit of background in case you all know what Boys Town is. I've had a couple of male friends walk down Boys Town and freak out a little bit because they're not used to being openly hit on by people. And I'm like, dude, that happens all the time to women. That is a woman's life. Either the guy doesn't find you attractive and takes you seriously, or the guy finds you attractive and doesn't look you in the eye. It's, yeah, that's just what life as a woman's like. It's constantly being objectified. I say, I welcome this change because it makes people rethink exactly how they treat the opposite gender or the gender that they're attracted to. Especially when approaching that whole flirtatious part of the relationship.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, I welcome that type of, like, the whole, like, same-sex marriage in video games and interracial thing. It struck me as odd every once in a while, like I said, like, when I'm playing Fable 3 and stuff, like, that just kind of, it struck me as a little bit off for some reason. And on the whole subject of interracial marriages, that doesn't bother me in the slightest. I mean, it's a little bit...
I think we're going up in a generation where that's even less of a big deal than whenever it was. Like, whenever our parents were growing up, that was a huge deal. But now it's just so minuscule as compared to everything else that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel like interracial marriage is a huge deal. The thing is about the reason why I mentioned the beast people in the description is because people are like, well, that's a little weird, isn't it? Because yeah. They're like cats and lizards. Why would you want to get married to them?
I'd bang a lizard.
Well, you know, how genetically, I don't see like how that would work to produce offspring unless you had half cat, half human.
They probably don't, to be perfectly honest.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, in the game, I'm sure you don't. But I'm just saying, like, if something like that were to come to fruition, that's why I think it strikes some people as a little bit weird, because it was like, well, how the hell would that work out genetically? And then you're talking, like, all sorts of bestiality.
That opens up a whole can of worms for fan art and fan fiction.
Yeah.
We best not open up that wormhole. That'd be weird.
Tentacles.
But, yeah.
One thing, Brandon, going back to that, though, because I think we've strayed a little bit. I want to get back into this, but I wanted to air this before we did anything else. One thing, Brandon, is that you told me that you don't like about Oblivion or Fallout is that they're RPGs, but they're not the RPGs you like, because they kind of stray a little bit away from it, and they're more Americanized. One thing that Skyrim does that traditional RPGs did, and I'm a huge fan of this, I know Maggie is, because me and her talked about this, being able to create my own poison and put it on my arrows and use it against people. I did that, and I put a paralyzing poison on one arrow, and I was fighting this guy on the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Shot him right in the shoulder with it, and he freezes in the positions he's in, then topples over the side of the bridge.
That's pretty neat.
That's fun.
I have another kind of random question, but, you know, this is very important to me.
Random questions are good.
What is the weaponry in the range of? Like, can you get, like, I know I could probably just look this up, but for the sake of the podcast, would you guys mind explaining the types of weapons that you've found so far? Like,
okay, may I?
Yeah.
Do you have all day?
Yeah, exactly. But I can give you, like, the simplest thing possible. There's four different weapons that you'll find.
Uh-huh.
No, five. There's five different weapons that you'll find. You'll find bows and arrows. You'll find daggers. You'll find swords. You'll find great swords. And you'll find staffs. There's infinite combinations of, this infinite stuff that you can find thereof. Because every single race has their own style of weapons making.
Really?
With the exception of the beak.
Yeah.
And so you'll find dwarvish. You'll find you'll find elvish, you'll find orc, glass, onyx, metal, you know, onyx, steel, iron, you know, for every single different type of metal or racial weaponry, you'll find a different design for that sword or bow or axe. So, and there's also axes, so just add two more to that.
All right, well then here's another really random question, but is there like, all right, as you guys know, I'm a big sword fan. So I kind of want to delve a little bit into the swords just for a quick moment, just for my own knowledge. Just a simple yes or no can suffice for these. Is there a sword and shield combo?
Yes.
Is there two-handed sword combo?
Yes.
Is there just single-handed, stronger type sword? Is there katanas?
Not straight up katanas. They're not listed as katanas, but I'm working with an orcish greatsword right now, and it looks incredibly similar to a katana. It is curved. The Red Guard, who they're another race of human, have Persian style weaponry.
Oh.
And so they have scimitars. What else? I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. I am sorry for the poor pronunciation on my part. Let's see what else.
Yeah, I actually played as a Red Guard on Oblivion, so.
Yeah,
I played as a Dark Elf on Oblivion, and I'm playing as a Nord in this one, because, you know, Oblivion, you were going in and out of fiery areas, and that was really, really handy to be a Dark Elf to do that. But, and that's another thing too, is every race that you can choose in the game have their own special racial attributes too. And I can go on for hours about that, so I won't. But get the strategy.
One's a fucking tiger.
whenever you buy the game, Brandon, and you will buy the game because you're intrigued and I can hear it in your voice, buy the strategy guide with it because, yeah, it'll help.
How much is the strategy guide?
I got mine for $40, but I got the special edition one that was all hardcover and awesome. I think that the average one's called is about 20.
26. We'll see about that.
You've got game facts.
Eventually you'll have a wiki.
I'm good enough with just looking up on a wiki. I love the actual materialistic value of a strategy guide, but I can't tell you the last time I bought one. I honestly think it was Kingdom Hearts 2, so that tells you how long ago that was.
If you saw this cover, Brandon, you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you saw this cover, you'd be like, I want to put this up on my wall somehow. Because it's pretty. So, let's see, how many pages are in the strategy guide? Not including the index.
Over 9,000.
Mine is about 640. Yeah.
Jesus.
There's 645 Christ. Pages in this without the index.
And they cut stuff out.
That's pretty retarded.
It's a huge game. And, you know, just to show some perspective, Brandon, I clocked over 300 hours on Oblivion.
Huh.
And it's bigger than Oblivion. So, yeah, it's a life eater.
And Oblivion's fucking huge.
They actually said that the map's smaller than Oblivion, but there's more to do.
Alright, how does save functions work? Is it you can just save anytime you want, or do you actually have to go someplace specific to save?
No, you can save anytime you want in the start menu, and also every time you exit or enter a building, you save.
There isn't the stupid stuff like there was in Fallout, like where you have to rest, and then it makes a whole bunch of time go by, is there?
No, they have that. Like, the waiting and the resting, they have that. But they don't have a hardcore mode like they did in Fallout New Vegas.
Well, I never...
And that mode's also optional.
Okay. Well, I never played Fallout New Vegas. I played a little bit of 3, and like I've said before, I wasn't impressed by it. That's just me.
Then again...
The only reason to use the wait system in Skyrim is if you're outside and you get somewhere and you want to save, you can wait 1 hour in game, which is like 3 seconds in real life.
Yeah. It's like if you have to do something at night, wait until nightfall. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
What else? Can I mention it's pretty? Like, seriously?
God, it's gorgeous.
It's really, really pretty. I want to actually live here.
It might be probably the prettiest game I've played.
Like, right now I'm standing by a waterfall and looking at this huge mountain range with a giant, like, moon overlooking the peak of this mountain. It is just, so pretty.
And one thing that I like is, I know me, Maggie, and Brandon have all put in multiple playthroughs of Dragon Age.
Yeah.
And we all talked about how you can go through and play that game any way you want to every time you play as a different character. Even more so in Skyrim, because there is no incorrect way to play it. There's so many different ways you can build a character. Last night I told you this, Brandon. There is no initial level cap, but the skill level caps are all the way up to 100. So once you get a skill to 100, you can't do anything else with it. But there's, like, what, 9 or 10, 11 different skills you can do, Maggie?
Yeah. There's a lot of them.
Is there good and evil choices? Like, can you differentiate your character?
No. There isn't a differentiate. It's a little bit more true to life, whereas people do treat you differently according to what you do. But it's not a huge game. There's no huge game changers whenever you make certain decisions.
No. You can still go around murdering everybody, but you're still going to have the same storyline that you would if you're playing as a good guy.
Huh.
But you can side with specific people. It looks like there's going to be a civil war in the game. I haven't gotten too far in it. So you
there's
have to pick sides during the civil war. You have to... and that could immediately affect the game. You could choose... There's just certain things you can choose to do, and it's just... Yeah. It's not as it's not like story essential stuff. This isn't a highly this isn't a super highly story driven game. It's like they wrote the story of the game realizing that people are going to go out and spend 15 hours, you know, exploring and then maybe come back to the story quest. And so
it's like me and spend 20 hours hunting elk.
Exactly. And it's one of those things where that's not to say the story isn't good. So far, the story's been very engaging. But the same time, they realize that's what people are going to do. So it's not like giving you a whole lot of backstory. It's not giving you unnecessary details. You don't have to worry about family members or anything like that. So,
okay, well, as you guys know, I haven't played Oblivion. So, but I do know a couple of things. Like, I know there was different, like, factions and shit you could align yourself with. And there, there was this one, I remember my friend was playing this a while ago.
Blackhand?
I remember there was something about, like, some... What is it? It's like some thief guild or something where you had like,
thief guild.
Yeah.
And you got what was that? Wasn't there like a mask or armor at the end of the line? You
Green
got
fox. God, why do I remember this?
Yeah.
Green fox's cowl.
Yeah, that was it. I remember that. Is there stuff like that in this where there's like different guilds and there's items you get for being aligned with the guilds?
Yes, there is. In fact, right now I'm a part of the companions right now, and actually I know for a fact. That Kyle did this. I'm a part of the companions right now, and if you progress far enough in the companions, spoiler alert, everybody, close your ears, you get the option to turn into a werewolf.
Yeah. And there's a group called the Brotherhood, and if you stay with them long enough, they can make you a vampire.
And Enzio comes out?
Kind of. They're an assassin's guild, actually. but they give you a horsey.
Ooh.
Really cool black horsey with red eyes.
Can you be part of multiple guilds, or can you only?
Yes.
Yeah. I would finish up all the missions for one guild before I'd go into another one, though.
Yeah, it gets kind of confusing.
Yeah. I would as long see. That's why I don't like really open world games, is because I get all these quests open at once, and I'm like, all right, well, which one is the main quest, and which one are my side quests? And then I forget which one's the main quest, and I go and do the main quest, and the side.
Oh, no, you'll be able to tell with this, because they separate them.
Good. Because that's always bothered me. I think I got really confused in Fallout because of that reason. I think I was, like, got confused on quests, and I'm like, okay, well, I want to do this, but this quest is up. I don't know where the hell this quest is. And I just don't like to be overwhelmed. As I've said in the past, I like to play games for fun. I don't like to play games to get confused the shit out of. And I mean, you know, difficult things can be fun, but, you know, I'd rather not play a game to pull my hair out. I'd rather play a game to be like, man, this is so fun, I just can't get enough of it.
The quest log in Skyrim is a whole lot cleaner than it was in Oblivion or Fallout.
That's good.
Yeah, it is, actually. It's a little easier to go through once you get the system.
They weren't made by the same developers, were they?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, they were.
They just reoriented everything.
Okay, I didn't know that. Wait, we're
they did it up.
Fallout and
Bethesda.
Yep, Bethesda. Yeah. They all did the same thing.
I know.
They did Morrowind. They did Oblivion. It's like they did Fallout, then they did this.
Well,
it's like they took the best parts of Oblivion and combined it with the Fallout games as far as mechanics goes, and so they tried to make it the best game they possibly could.
Yeah.
Dylan, what were you saying?
I was going to say, first off, Bethesda, we should probably put in a correction.
Baldur's Gate, right?
They did Fallout 3 in New Vegas.
Right.
They did not do the previous Fallout. Something they were doing during the development, they're like, okay, we want to make this as streamlined for consoles as possible, but we don't want to snuff out the PC experience. So it ends up on the PC and consoles, you actually have two different interfaces, both are each tailored to what you're playing on. So if you're playing on 360, which is what I'll be playing on because I don't trust my computer to run it, then, you know, they make the interface and everything more streamlined for someone who's using a controller.
Yeah, they do.
But if you play it on the computer, then it's more like what you'd expect for a computer game based like that. So, yeah, any more to say about Skyrim, guys?
It's awesome.
Should go out today and get it? No.
Yeah, I'll get it when I get back in town. I've got so much crap I have to play.
By the time you get back in town, Dylan, I'll probably be 10% into the game.
Wow, you're giving yourself a lot of credit there. 10%? Oh, man. On a side note, but kind of related in terms of game style, I can't wait to play through Deus Ex again.
Oh, I know. I need to go back and play through again, too.
Yeah, because I just bought it on 360. So it's waiting.
Speaking of...
It's waiting for the house. But go on.
Speaking of Deus Ex, I was... I had a friend over here the other day because I invited her over. She recently started dating this guy who's a friend of mine. And how me and him became friends was through Metal Gear Solid.
That is awesome.
And, like, we both played Metal Gear Solid when we were kids. And I invited her over here to show her what it is because she had never played it. And this is an interesting segue into the Metal Gear HD Collection just that just came out.
I can't believe that either.
Plug. But, and I invited her over here, and she says, man, this looks a lot like Deus Ex. And I'm like, isn't it kind of funny that this came out in the early 2000s? And it looks just like Deus Ex? So.
Huh. It does have a Metal Gear vibe to it all over.
Especially with the sneaking.
A lot from Metal Gear, if I remember right, didn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Speaking of the Metal Gear Collection, I have to say that that game has some of the best named achievements that I've ever seen in a game.
And apparently it does. I haven't looked at the list, but I see Luke unlocks one.
Dylan, I can actually pull it up right now and look at it if you want me to.
Yeah, hold on.
I'm on my Xbox.
Well, I'll link it to you guys, because I got, I'm on Xbox 360 achievements at the moment.
Don't have any spoilers, does it?
Yeah, oh,
well,
Dylan.
Well, some of them do.
I don't want to be spoiled.
Because you've never played Metal Gear before?
Never, ever.
Okay, check out some of the names on that list, too. It's hilarious. One of my favorites is, hold on, I gotta look through it. Cause
it's some of the descriptions are hilarious, too.
Yeah.
Johnny on the spot. Hear Johnny's bowel noises from two locations.
Rent money. Beat 30 enemies unconscious.
Snake beater. get caught by Otacon stimulating yourself. I forgot what that's in the context of. It's been a long time since I played
it. It was when Snake was hiding in one of the lockers from Metal Gear Solid 2, and there was like a half-naked Japanese model on a poster.
No, wait. Listen. Okay, go on, hold on. Go on, Kyle.
Oh, I'm okay. It's Snake and Metal Gear Solid 2, you can hide in one of the lockers on the ship. I guess you would call it a ship. I don't know what the hell you would call
that
thing, Dylan.
Tanker.
Yeah. That's a nice way of saying it. Even though it was like 4 million tankers on one.
Hold on. Time out. Does Peace Walker not have any achievements?
It's
at the very end.
Oh, it is.
They're all just kind of combined together. Like with the red box.
It's
like with the orange box.
So, hold on. Wait. So... Peace Walker is...
It's part of it, but Xbox 360 and the achievements themselves, actually, I think they listed as two separate games, if I'm not mistaken.
No. I'm looking at it right now, and it's combined.
Oh, okay. Then it's just listed as two separate things on this site for some reason. Well, I'll link you to those two, Dylan.
Yeah, they've got them as 500 gamer score each for MGS 2 and 3, but they don't have any listed for Peace Walker, or am I just not reading it all?
Because this one's called Peace Walker, finish game without killing anyone. Like a boss, finish this game on any difficulty. So they spent less time on Peace Walker because it was a port from the PSP. But...
The Peace Walker achievements for MGS3.
Yeah, it is.
I think Peace Walker's only got like 5 achievements.
Well, just to get back before we get too far away from this... The Snake Beater, how Xbox 360 achievements list how to get the Snake Beater achievement is pretty funny, too. During the tanker chapter, go to Deck A's locker room and find the sexy poster in one of the lockers. Use first-person view and look at it until Snake gets excited. Immediately call Otacon. Oh, my God. I remember that, too. It's hysterical.
And the look on his face on the codec was hilarious.
Wasn't Snake just going up and down going...
Yeah.
Then there's one called a sexting,
Yes,
send Otacon a picture of a marine with his pants off.
God.
It's like they realized all of the Easter eggs that everybody looked for several years ago and said, let's make achievements based on them.
Oh, okay. I just answered my own question, by the way. Peace Walker does have its own thousand, so it must be separate.
Okay.
It's written in the actual body of the thing. Anyways.
Maybe it is. I haven't put in the Peace Walker disc yet. So
it is. Yeah, it has its own thousand, while MGS2 and MGS3 share 500 apiece.
Okay, that makes sense. Let me look. My favorite achievement is Problem Solved Series Over.
Yeah, that is probably the best one. I cannot believe they actually put an achievement in
that. Is that the Time Paradox one?
Yes.
It is.
That is awesome.
Time Paradox.
It's like create the Ocelot Time Paradox. Everybody knows exactly what that means.
Yeah.
Snake, you created a Time Paradox.
Should be an achievement for just meeting Boss, though, you know. Because I think Boss is one of my favorite characters in video games.
God, oh, yeah, Boss is awesome.
You guys know who I'm talking about, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
For anybody who doesn't know, she's the Cate Blanchett-looking character in Metal Gear Solid 3 because she was totally modeled after Cate Blanchett. Fun fact. God,
that game made me cry.
God, I loved her. But then she had the most retarded doctor. So like, I'm in labor. Here, let me cut your entire abdomen to get the baby out. So, yeah, anyway.
Well, you know, them's the breaks during war and the, you know, that time.
Dylan, yes. Can I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
Do you think love can blossom even on the battlefield?
Bloom. You fucked it up. It's bloom.
Yeah, because those don't mean the same thing.
They don't.
God, I hate you.
Funny. Was the Powerpuff Girl called Blossom or Bloom? You would know. You watch it every day, Kyle.
My only regret
is still on, apparently.
It is on Boomerang. You would know.
Apparently, I'm the one who didn't.
Go oh, on that one. Sorry.
I thought I missed one.
To answer your question, Kyle, yeah, I do. I think any time, any place, people can fall in love with each other. But if you love someone, you have to be able to protect them.
Did you seriously just quote that?
I looked it up, but yeah.
Oh, you fuck. I was gonna say, you'd have just gained so many more badass points if you said yes. I quoted it from memory.
I know a few, but like I don't know that one by heart. I know the general gist of the quote.
I think besides the obvious sad ending for a character in Metal Gear series, I think the number two one goes to Sniper Wolf.
Yeah.
That was upsetting.
Dylan, there's a quote I can remember from Metal Gear Solid that's really epic. I know off the top of my head very well.
Okay.
Are you going to tell us or are we going to guess?
Hold on.
Well, I know one, but I'm not going to say it.
I got to get in character. Hold on. Fox, die!
God, I hated that.
Sucking a dragon. Oh, God.
Fox!
Oh my god, I cracked the hell up when they parodied that in 4. That was the funniest thing ever.
I just want everybody to know that if I don't say anything or if I curse randomly, it's because randomly dragon. Just letting you know.
Kyle, you've seen that, haven't you?
Where the fuck are you?
Of course I have.
I'm just making sure. Well, anyway, do we have anything else to segue? Or do we have anything else to talk about Metal Gear Solid, the HD collection? Because there's actually something I kind of want to segue to. If we don't,
I'm excited to play it whenever I have time.
I really want to. I got it on both consoles, so like I'm ready for whichever group wants to play. I'm set. I'm gonna tell you guys now. Peace Walker is going to be a time investment if you want that 1,000 gamer score. It's a for-real time investment. I haven't even looked at the achievements, but me and Miguel put well over 40 hours into the game before we beat it.
Nice.
Like, here's the thing, you're going... You'll play through the story... and you finish the game, right? Wrong. When you beat the story, and I put quotation marks around that, I was doing air quotes in my fingers, you've only just started the game. As you play through the side missions after the initial story, you unlock additional story that's completely canon and happens, and then the game does this 180 plot twist, and then you see the real ending. But even then, more missions still keep unlocking afterwards.
Damn. But
you can at least conclude the story.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. The final boss for Peace Walker, I remember Miguel and I were playing it on PSP, of course. I actually have my copy of Peace Walker here with me at the hotel. my PSP copy, though. It took every rocket we had between the both of us to destroy the final boss.
Damn.
That was a mean, mean boss. Because, like, you can pack so many different types of weapons in the battle depending on what combat suit you're wearing. And the ones we were wearing were high protection, slow movement, but they also let you carry three weapons in the battle instead of two. So I packed three different types of rocket launchers. These come with about 10 shots per rocket launcher, so that's 30. And then we also had ammo resupply radios that we could throw on the ground, and Kaz, who you'll meet in the game, will send a plane to actually drop you more ammo, and it'll restock all your ammunition. So take those 30 rockets, times that by 10, so 300 rockets. Then add Miguel, who had the same setup, 600 rockets.
Holy shit.
And here's the thing. We had to make about 95% of our shots. Ammo, it wasn't that we were missing all the time. That is just a tough-ass boss. The thing is, with boss battles in Peace Walker, Well, the whole game you can actually play multiplayer. The story, the side missions, everything is multiplayer. But when you play Peace Walker, the main story, or really even like the sneaking missions, it's only you and a friend. But when you play a boss battle, it's up to four people.
Oh, wow.
So if we had had a third person, I think that fight wouldn't have been nearly as hard. But I'll say this, if anyone beat the final boss of Peace Walker by themselves, you have... I'm impressed.
Slow clap.
In fact, I'll buy whoever it is a beer. If they like beer. If not, then I'll get them something they like. But, Brandon, do you have any questions about Peace Walker?
Yes, I got a random one. I know you said it's co-op. So, I've seen pictures of the co-op, and do you play as... Does the second person play as Miller, or does he play as another Snake?
Okay, here's how it works. You play as Snake.
Uh-huh.
So, you play as Snake, and then your friend plays as Snake on his screen. But when you see your partner on your screen, he's a random soldier. He's not Snake. But you always play as Snake, no matter who you are. But your teammates don't look like you. You're the only actual Snake.
That's on the pictures I've seen for it. It's always the other. There's always been two Snakes, and I was like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, I don't know why that is.
What?
Maybe I'm trying to think of what would cause that to happen. It's been so long since I've actually played it, so hell, I may be telling you wrong. But I almost remember for a fact that your teammate always shows up as some dude wearing a balaclava.
It would have made more sense if, because isn't Miller like a very big character in that game?
Well, that's, if I remember right, that's Master Miller from MGS1.
Yeah.
But him in his younger days.
Exactly. But and, isn't he a big character in that?
Miller is a very big character. Basically, he's like Otacon of the game.
So.
Even though Otacon's grandfather is in the game as well.
Oh, that's cool. But I would have thought it would have made more sense to have Miller be the other character for the second player or something. I read that somewhere.
Miller manages the mother base, which Peace Walker is kind of like Pokemon. You have to capture soldiers.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. That's actually really cool. That was one of the big things that made me want to get Peace Walker.
Yeah, you can replay missions, like any mission at all, and you can use the full-time recovery system. Thankfully, it's improved since Metal Gear Solid Portable Ops.
I have Portable Ops.
Hated Portable Ops.
Yeah.
It's the only MGS game I have ever hated.
Can't you, like, capture, like, Otacon, or not Otacon, Ocelot and people like that?
Wait, in Portable Ops?
No, Peace Walker.
Ocelot's not in Peace Walker. But you can capture Hideo Kojima.
That is awesome.
Like
That's interesting.
We were playing one of the bonus missions afterwards, and we had to look in the back of all these trucks. So me and Miguel were running around all these trucks trying to find what item it is we needed to complete the mission. And you open up one of the trucks, and there's a little Asian dude sitting back here. And Snake's like, Mr. Kojima. That's
awesome. God.
And he, afterwards, like, Kojima's kind of waves at you. And, afterwards, you can unlock him. You can't actually play as Hideo Kojima, but you can actually have him do stuff, because not all your soldiers are for battle. You have some that will develop new technologies for you. You have some that will gather intelligence for you. Some that will do some scouting.
That's awesome.
You can assign them all these different roles. So Hideo Kojima, like, they all have a letter grade for each of the categories, so you won't put them where they're best at, of course.
Yeah.
And he's got one of the best ranks in the game for intel.
You know, a little bit random, Dylan, but you were talking about how long Peace Walker's going to take to get 1,000. I have to say that 2 and 3, if you want to get, like, one of them done first, I think Peace Walker might be easier, because in 2 and 3, the big achievements that are going to take a long time is you have to collect all the dog tags in 2 and hit all the keratins in 3.
Jesus.
Yeah, all the dog tags. That means there's unique dog tags on every difficulty, mm-hmm. which means I am going to be... There's no way in hell I'm getting 100% on that game. Fuck that. There's way too many.
There are some dog tags that are just hard to get, like, during that playthrough. Some of them you have such a brief window to get it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I remember...
You'll need a guide.
I got some really rare ones in 2, and I was like, oh man, that took so hard. It was like so fucking hard to get. I'm never going to have to do it again, thank God. And then it's like, oh, wait, yeah, I remember doing that. God damn it.
Yeah.
Dude, don't put down Peace Walker, because I'm saying it could potentially be... It's a very long game. But is there any other...
You got me really excited and wanting to play it now.
I really do want to play it. Like, it sucks I'm out here, you know, with no console. I'm bringing my PlayStation here with me, because that's what I bought the majority of my new games for. So I'd like to clear out my backlog while I'm here. And I will be playing that on PlayStation, but when I get back in December, we can play some Peace Walker.
I'm gonna make sure that's on my Christmas list, because I really want to play that now.
Well, after we get off the air, I've got a question to ask you guys about something else, but just remind me after we get off the air.
Okay.
Yeah, the Metal Gear HD Collection and Skyrim were my birthday presents to myself.
Nice.
So I'm happy. By the way, tomorrow, just saying.
And as I said, happy early birthday, Maggie.
Happy early birthday, Maggie.
Early birthday, Maggie.
You know, there's something I want to talk about before we get off the air, though. And this, I was telling Dylan about this game. Maggie and Kyle, check this game out. It looks really cool. It's a PSP-only game that you can download from the PSN.
And then they hate it.
Well, it's not that they hate it, it's just they don't have a PSP.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, just check out, like, the look of it and everything, because it's a pixel game that you can get. And how it works is that you can completely customize it to a T. You can, your character, you can customize everything about what they wear, how they look, by just editing pixels and like bitmap type things. And you can edit, you can make your own weapon and completely edit it. I was actually, the reason I found this was from a comic, and the guy who writes the comic gave his friend a giant dildo weapon. And okay. You can change, you can, if you have, I don't know for sure, but I think if you have music uploaded to your PSP, you can set it so that music plays in the game, so the in-game music. This game is all about customability. So I was looking at it, and you can actually trade with your friend. So let's say Dylan makes a character and I make a character. We can trade characters, and I don't know if, I think we get to be in the same party with each other. But it looks really neat. And Dylan, I don't know, did you have a chance to look at the site at all or anything?
I'm watching the trailer.
I'm actually not right now.
Yeah. I was thinking about that, too.
I just hope this doesn't end up being, like, drawn to life on the DS. That was a horrible game. I was like, yeah, you could draw your character. And of course, I always drew myself as, like, a Yeti.
I don't know. It was just, I happened to come across, like but, I said, through a comic. And I was like, wow, this game's actually really cool looking. It actually, Dylan, this will make you drop your jaw. It actually made me, when I woke up this morning, turn on my PS3 and look for it on the shop. Because I was actually going to play my PS3 this morning instead of my Xbox. But I'm playing Gears right now, so yes, that is a very hard thing.
It shouldn't be so hard for you to play your PS3. It really shouldn't. You know, under any other podcast, I would try to convince you to play PS3 a little
I
more.
Would.
Not,
I have absolutely
not
no
to
time
make you stop
anymore.
Playing
it's
your
another
360,
time I do have.
Just
I just
to
hop on and play
your PS3
like Gears or something.
Yeah.
And now maybe Skyrim.
Well, we'll see about that. that'd be funny.
Wouldn't it be something if you got Skyrim for PS3?
The option is there. You just never talked to us.
I mean...
Good night, everybody.
I think... Brandon,
the hell?
You're honestly like.
Don't worry about it. Anyway, you were saying?
Yeah. Anyways, before Kyle so rudely left, Brandon, I think one reason why you don't like buying stuff for your PS3,
so.
Like the multi-platform titles, is achievements.
Well, lady and gentlemen, do we have anything else we really want to talk about?
No. My computer's about to die, so...
Ah, okay. Well, with any luck, Dylan, this episode should be up soon, correct?
I'm good. Tonight? Or...
Alcohol.
Tonight or tomorrow?
I mean,
hold on, let me elaborate. Because might get really heavy-handed into Fantasy 8.
Well, thanks for listening, folks.
No,
thanks for taking time, potentially out of Skyrim, to listen to this. Or thank you for even having us in the background of playing Skyrim.